And Gary, would you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have approval of the minutes for the May 13th meeting.
Second.
Any questions or changes? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Mitch, good morning.
Good morning. So hopefully everyone had a chance to review the memo I sent out late last week. And it's in relation to the timekeeping system RFP. We received 7 proposals back. Jack, Nate, and I reviewed those proposals. The highest rated is our current provider, Andrews Technology. They're also, we estimated the lowest cost proposal. And we have had very positive experience with Andrews. They've been very responsive when we call for customer service and, helped us program some pretty complex schedules and pay policies and leave accruals and that type of thing. So I'd be looking for a action to approve us contracting with Andrews for a not to exceed cost of $325,000 over a 5-year term. But happy to have answer any questions that you might have about the.
If I could, and yeah. Appreciate Mitch very much leading the effort, and for Nate reviewing as well. There were a thick stack of proposals and complex. One thing for those of you who have been on the board since we initiated the timekeeping system, one of the changes that we're making is we're significantly reducing the number of wall-mounted punch clocks for office people, particularly here and here. I know that was a goal of Mr. Horisky and others, but I think the technology has evolved such where there's not much of a difference where they can punch on their computer once they get to their desk instead of waiting in line to clock in, clock out. And we do have lines backed up at the door at 8, 8:30, 9. So it's a practical savings of about $15,000 mm-hmm. or more. Just want to alert you to that, because that will be a functional change for a lot of people, but they can clock in, right at their computer, and management still has the ability. If someone is constantly tardy, we still have the ability to address that. It's just a change of how they punch in.
What's the schedule? Oh, I'm sorry.
I just wondered, can they clock in though from their phones or something? So if they're late to work, are they going to be clocking in when they're on their way here?
So the good news is if they do that, we can see where they clocked in. So if they clocked in up by Dunkin' Donuts, we can.
No, I'm just very serious about it. Yeah. A lot of people have laptops to take home or their
phone. We have actually seen, not to get into details, but we have seen people clock in Syracuse. And so that prompts the supervisor to ask, okay. Why did you clock? So it does geolocate. But the good side of that, so few and far between, but it does allow us to identify potential issues. On the good side, this morning's a good example. You got a bunch of people all over the county deployed, pick up their phone, clock in. That's legit. They're good. They don't have to go to the shop to or to this office to punch in. And there's also a call option too. So for the highway crews, we're going to utilize a combination of this. We can't force an employee to put the app on their phone. They can if they want, but there's also like an 800 number, and they'll have a pin that if they dial, that punches them into.
Okay.
And what's the time schedule for?
In terms of
getting this working and.
I think implementation is going to be about 3 months. The other thing, and as one of the people who scored, because we're with Andrews right now, and there is quite an integration with Munis, with our payroll and financial system, they already have the data. So as opposed to going to a completely new vendor, not only were they the low proposal, we really believe that the data migration is going to be much quicker.
Yeah, we'll also be able to replace all the hardware. The hardware will be compatible with our current software, so we can get the hardware done initially pretty quickly and keep the current software working while we work on, you know, some of the programming of the new software.
All new clocks?
Well, so the ones that we do have do their end of life and need to be replaced. Andrews did alert us to that. So we will be getting new clocks for, think more of the places where a punch-in makes sense, like the jail, the public safety building, 911, those sort of things, you know, more of the standard kind of shift work. Those clocks will be replaced under this cost.
Both one, because I did the
LD or attendance microphone
at Corning, but the old clocks, do we keep those for parts or do we just give them back?
We'll work with Andy to surplus them, but they're end of life and really of no value to us. If we can find a way to get some money out of it, selling it to a reseller or something, we'll do that. But they're end of life and no value to us.
And just for, so you know, the numbers of the reduction, we're going from around 36 clocks currently to about 14, 15 is what we estimate.
And they all know that they can do this technology on their computer or on their phone or whatever.
So because the clocks went end of life and we had to purchase some new ones, we've been in the process. So actually staff have been converting to this already. It's been a slow conversion, but certainly we will notify, you know, we'll get from Andrews the how-tos. Just like when we integrated with this, those of us who wanted it on our phone got the flyer, go to this, download this, put in your employee number, create a password, those sort of things. So yeah, we'll certainly make sure everyone knows.
Got it.
The 325 over 5 years, is that 325 each year or?
It's not going to be an even split. That's really the cost over the whole.
Well, so is it a total of 325,000?
Yes.
We're not spending $1.5 million.
No, correct. Okay. Yeah.
And what was the year we implemented the system? How old is this system?
2008, 2007? Or I'm sorry, 2017, 2018?
Yeah. It's pre COVID.
Okay.
Any other questions?
We had actually put some money in the budget.
There's $500,000 in a capital project for this.
Okay.
Do we have a motion?
Make the motion.
Second?
I guess I'll second it. Hilda can be the motion maker.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you. That's all I had.
Thank you. Tim?
My first time on the agenda. And it's going to be a consistent, so we're going to do it monthly. We should employ a notice of claim. So every time we get a notice of claim, we're going to notify you each month of that. Currently, for the year, there are 10 notices of claims. However, 7 of them are in REM. So, and we're probably going to get a lot more as the tax sale gets closer to us. But that is, in essence, a notice of claim. It's not a tort that you might think normally, a personal injury or something like that. But we will be giving notices every month of new notices of claim. So again, there's 10 a year, 7 of them are in REM, and the last 7 have been in REM. So those are going to be coming probably pretty furiously, and we'll work to try to resolve those as quick as we can.
And what exactly does it mean to be in REM?
The tax foreclosure. So somebody's bringing they've been foreclosed. They want their money back, right? that we surplused. And so we're going to be working with that. And there's been big case law, and recently they're getting their money back if they do it properly. So one of the proper methods is, at least the starting point is, give us a notice of claim of what you're entitled to, and then we'll appear in court and we'll figure out how much you're supposed to get, if anything, and particularly make sure you're the right person and all the other details are followed. So those are standard procedurally. We will have a executive meeting to discuss real litigation, the other stuff that you might think about, because all the NREMs we're going to generally handle in-house locally. If it's a federal, we have Dave Fitch is handling our federal, but he's going to come down and discuss with us what is currently pending on the 23rd in executive session, and that's litigation material. So we'll have a big catch-up as to, I don't know when the last one was, but here comes this one, and Dave's going to come down, physically going to be here, and we'll discuss what litigation is open. So
And I mean, can they, how far can they go back? 10 years, is it?
Three.
How many?
Three years. Yeah.
So there's,
they're fighting farther back, right. But we're fighting the farther back one because the money from the in-rem sales has gone into general budget and it's kind of spent for other things. And now you want to come back and get your 2019 taxes. I don't know. We're not, that's generally not going to happen. So that we're fighting that.
The 3 years seems pretty solid that, and since the Hennepin County case, we have been earmarking funds for that purpose. Yeah. That surplus will need to go back. But as Tim mentioned, you know, they'll do a good job fighting the ones that are way, way back.
Wasn't there a different time period, a longer time period that was also offered?
There was discussion at one point about 6 or 7 years. I recall some kind of discussion, but based on what New York State put in their law, we think 3 is probably the most reasonable. And there's a lot of defects for people going back 6, 7 years, primarily that they didn't issue a 90-day notice of claim way back then. So
you can go back 3 years from what date?
The 2023 sales are the ones that are generally getting their money returned. Before that, we're fighting about that.
Essentially 3 years from this, from when they file. Okay. So if they filed today, back 3 years.
Okay.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you. Nate, good morning.
Just a couple things here. First is in community services, requesting to create one registered professional nurse position, CSEA grade O. And this is another one of the situations where we're looking to move a contract position into the county. And we do actually have a contract nurse that's interested in taking that position.
Question?
How are we doing with filling these positions that we've been creating?
In
general.
It's still a rough road. We've been doing a lot more advertising in various places, you know, the job seeker stuff. Quite frankly, it's still difficult. We've been managing to fill some that we didn't think we could, but there are still a few vacant.
Right. Is there like a rough percentage? I was like 50% filled or?
Boy, I wouldn't even know. I mean, I could get you that, but I'm not even sure, to be honest with you. You know, like one like this particularly, of course, we already have one to fill it. So that's a good thing.
Right.
Attorneys are tough. Social workers are tough. We've been trying to, as I say, spread out and try to get some more ways to get those folks in. I don't know that it's 50% yet, but we are certainly making some progress.
Okay.
Any other questions? Do we have a motion?
I'll make the motion on this one.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
And next is in Office for the Aging, requesting to create one caseworker position, CSEA grade K. They currently have, I believe, 4.5 case managers working with the home delivered meal program, about 350 clients. Consistently, they are a little bit overloaded. It creates a backlog on their required paperwork and reporting. And also the supervisor is carrying a caseload, which they should really be supervising. They do have a contract surplus that can cover this. I believe, Jack, they don't anticipate that going away, correct?
No, we asked that question. They do have, I believe Gabe said, over $150,000 that they have pretty consistently had in surplus contract funds that could be utilized for this purpose and help alleviate the caseload. So, and that's kind of use it or lose it money from the state and the Fed. So if we can leverage it, it'd be a good thing.
Is that contract going to be consistent year over year, or is this a one time?
That's a long standing contract, and we have been historically about $150,000 underspent on it. So.
Okay. I'll make the motion.
Gary?
Is there a reason that we don't create two if we needed, we're so far behind.
A couple concerns about that. Two would go over the amount of the surplus once you add in benefits. So then we'd be negative, we'd be more county cost. But what we can do is just stay in touch with Gabe. He thinks this one is going to help out a lot.
I mean, these people are, some of them are pretty helpless. So they need a lot of help.
They do, and these caseworkers do a number of
Right.
different things. So what I think we would do, and I think it goes kind of hand in glove with the Hornell Senior Center, coming for next year, the move, I think we just keep an eye on how much this one helps. And if there's still a tremendous gap, obviously we would want to talk to Gabe and talk to you folks about trying to fill that.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there a Second. Candidate? I'm sorry.
Yes. Yeah, we're confident that we can fill this quickly.
Second.
All right. Go ahead. We have a motion.
Yeah, I made the motion.
Okay, so all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
And now in social services, request to reclassify one currently vacant senior social worker CSEA grade O to a senior social work assistant CSEA grade L. This is a position that the senior social worker has been vacant for quite some time. Very difficult to fill, as you can imagine. There is an internal candidate who qualifies for senior social work assistant that will be going to get their certification to eventually move up. So the plan with this is to get them in there and get them working. And while they're working on their MSW. Once they did that, we would come back to you probably in a couple of years to obviously reclassify that back up.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Yeah.
Carried.
And next, also in social services, request to create one assistant director of temporary and disability assistant, management grade F. This is for succession planning, current director, to obviously learn under the current director, hopefully eventually move up.
I'll move it.
I'll second. So there's not an existing assistant director?
Correct.
There's no titles that are similar to.
Not really. And realistically, we've been moving, even for the last probably 20 years where, we didn't have a lot of those deputies and assistants, trying to do that succession planning to allow people to move right in and to learn rather than just bringing somebody in from the outside or from an unfamiliar territory.
Okay.
We have a motion and a second. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Okay. District Attorney's Office request to reclassify one currently vacant senior typist, CSEA grade F, to a paralegal assistant, CSEA grade J. And we took a look at the duties that this position is doing, recently vacated, and the duties are that of a paralegal assistant at this point versus senior typist.
I'll move it.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
And to a public defender, request to create one full-time case manager, CSEA grade L. And actually for both of these under public defender, this would be Harrell Herring funds and ILS determined they would like these positions to enhance service quality. They with the investigator particularly, which we'll do next, but they already have an investigator, but on contract, ILS wants one in-house. And again, covered by ILS, so.
Both positions
both
are covered?
Both positions, correct.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Any questions? Hilda?
So how long are we getting those funds?
Indefinite. They keep rolling, and the way that they do it is very complex in a lot of ways. So they're generally 5-year rolling contracts, but we are confident in talking with Sean and talking. We meet with ILS as well when they come down to talk about these budgets. I think Scott asked the question of public safety. I think we're reaching the point where we're going to get about as much as we're going to.
Yeah.
But because the state is party to the Hurrell Herring lawsuit, they have an obligation to continue these funds. Not that something couldn't change and catastrophically they sweep it, but we think the likelihood of that is pretty low. So we anticipate these funds to be continued for the foreseeable future. But I think we're reaching the point. We've been steadily growing since about 2019.
Yeah.
And so I think we're about the plateau of additional money.
Gary.
I'm still a little confused. Probably 3 months or 4 months ago, Sean says, I'm done. Everything that I've looked at is pretty much filled. And then all of a sudden, in the last couple of months, we're starting to see more.
So I can answer that. I think he was specifically, I don't want to speak for him. I think he was specifically referring to attorney ads. I think he's good from an attorney staffing standpoint. And I do know that, was it April, ILS came down and met with Sean separately and then met with us because we run assigned counsel and said, here's the new contract. Here's the funding. What we'd like to see in this case, they said, you know, case manager and bring the investigator part-time in-house. So it was that process.
Okay.
that it's, here's your new contract. At the time we had about all the money obligated, and then they came in and we have a couple hundred grand more, and they're like, what are you going to spend it on? And so Sean worked with them and this was the plan.
All right. Thank you.
Scott.
I think, and as you know, I don't like adding people anymore than anybody else, but I think the good thing is we are in full compliance with Hurrell Herring requirements. There are other counties that aren't. They just haven't built up their staffing, and they're, in my opinion, they're asking for trouble.
There, I would agree. There have been behind the scenes, won't call them threats, but suggestions that County XYZ fix this or else.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a credit to you folks in doing things like this that functionally allow them, but a credit to Sean and his staff to get it to where it is. ILS, in talking with them, they're very happy when they come down here because things are in order.
So what's the all or else? What would they do?
They could file a motion in court saying that the counties are not complying with the settlement terms.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Okay. Do we need to do the second one as well? Or did we?
Or did was that for both of them? Is it?
My thought was for both of them.
There you go.
Okay.
Motion was for both.
All right. On to the sheriff's office. Request to create two deputy sheriff positions, Deputies Association grade 11. And I think most of you know the reasoning behind this, but if there's any questions, certainly we can answer.
I'll move it.
I'll second, but I do have a general question. Is this going to, because I think when we had the presentation, the idea was two every 6 months, but we had an idea of one every 6 months. So is this covering that, or is this separate?
This is from public safety anyway. This is two right now, and then we're going to look at it at budget time. This is no guarantee to any ongoing anything.
Right.
This,
so it's just a one time
deal. And then Jack's getting a whole lot of data for us, and then we'll relook at the data and look at the budget.
And are these going to be dedicated to patrol? Because I know that was the biggest concern. Or is that something that can't really be done?
I'll just give you my perception, and the rest of you, especially Jeff, as chair of the committee, correct me. It's ultimately the sheriff's decision, however he posts them. But I have shared with the sheriff and with Mr. Horton and the chair that my takeaway was it was primarily to address the lack of or the overnight coverage where one deputy could potentially be on. So I took that as the priority of the collective body. He can assign how he wants, but that's what I shared with the sheriff, that was the priority.
That's exactly the conversation that I had with him is
you know, we can't say when they're scheduled, but it's to make sure that, you know, we don't have one deputy out there and one gets called in sick or on a call,
right,
one deputy in the middle of the night alone. So that's what we're trying to prevent. So hopefully that's where,
you know, if that doesn't happen, that would not reflect favorably on me in the future for future positions if these don't get allocated to that.
And we are looking at, like Jeff said, call data and those sort of things. So as we trend closer to budget time, we'll be able to see, you know, what gaps, if there are, still exist, how these help fill those.
Right.
That was the sheriff's main concern, right? In that report, right?
That was my perception.
Yeah. I don't mind if they do other work, but I think the primary job should be that, because that seems to be the greatest need.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
All right. Okay, on to some contracts. The first is a request to do a one-year renewal on DSI Medical Services, and this is our service for the onboarding drug tests.
I'll move it.
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
I'm sorry. Can I ask a question?
What are the rates?
What's the cost?
Well, there's a few different costs. So it depends on what, you know, what kind of tests. In general, a 4-panel urine test is $45. Hair test is $95. 5-panel urine is $45. And a 5-panel hair is $95. And they'll do a $45 breath alcohol test.
Is it a savings if you have short hair?
I don't think, actually, I think it's more expensive.
Okay. total cost that we have, do we know?
Less than 10 grand.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, for most, it's the 4-panel urine test. With marijuana being legal these days, that changed some things. But when you get into law enforcement, obviously that's different. So it's kind of determined on what they're doing.
Yeah. And if it's reasonable suspicion, then you go to the higher panels and probably a hair test as well.
Yeah. You know, and if it's a, you know, if it's a reasonable suspicion of, you know, maybe drinking at work or being, you know, under the influence of alcohol, breath test, stuff like that. So it just depends on the situation.
This is onboarding and we're worried about people drinking?
Well, I mean, we use it for that as well. So if, you know, if you have situations where there's a reasonable suspicion of someone, you know, being under the influence of alcohol or something else. And, you know, we use that to test for that as well.
It's the vast majority is onboarding, but we can use them for reasonable suspicion as well.
We have a motion a second.
Oh, we did that.
We already did that.
Yeah. We're good on that one. Yeah. All right. Next is a 1-year contract renewal and with Guthrie Occupational Medicine. And this is for our, police and deputy sheriff medical exams. It's approximately $218 per exam.
I'll second. Is that like an annual, like physical type situation?
Or onboarding. So when they come in, there's a few different things that they have to do. One of which is a medical exam to show.
So there's no, like, we don't pay for like any reoccurring exams, just the initial exam?
Not unless there was something, you know, during the course of their employment.
It'd have to be like a comp issue at
right.
that point.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
We have a motion and a second. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
And the next is a request to do a 1-year renewal also with governmentjobs.com, NeoGov. This is a little bit of a unique situation. This is the software that we've used for quite a few years in our office to do civil service exams, eligible list certifications, as well as employment histories, appointments, promotions, all that sort of stuff. So it's a very, very narrowly tailored program for civil service specifically. It was for quite some time the only program that could do this. Actually, it still is, but they were bought out a couple years ago by another company, with governmentjobs.com, and they have since, we were able to extend on a sole source because there was nobody else that could do it. Now they do have a few distributors, but the difference with this particular situation is over the course of us having this program, we have purchased specific modules that were custom created for Steuben County that nobody else can do at this point. And actually, if we were to go back out to bid and take this company's new program, they wouldn't give us these. We also have, we're in a kind of a unique situation with New York State currently, where they're doing what they're calling a civil service transformation. I'll get into that sometime when we have a little better understanding of it, but they're essentially transforming how they do civil service exams. And that could change our needs with the program. So going out to RFP to buy a new program right now just wouldn't make sense because we don't really know what we're going to need. So we're asking to renew with eGov for 1 year, not to exceed $7,000 on a maintenance fee.
So
I'll second.
Any further questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
And the last thing I have is two adds to the management salary plan, and these are for the positions that we created earlier in this meeting. The first is request to amend the management salary plan to add the investigator in the Office of the Public Defender to management grade H.
I'll move it. Oh, there's more than one?
What's it? There's two. Yeah, there's
right,
two.
There's two. Yeah, do them together.
Want to do them together?
Yeah.
The second is a request to add Assistant Director of Temporary and Disability Assistance to Management Grade F.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Yeah, I second.
These go along with the new schedule that we're...
Yep. This just slots them into the new schedule.
Okay.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
I think that's all I've got. Thank you.
Thank you. Jack, do you want
to... Yes, I have one item for open session, and then I have a request for two items, brief executive session. The open session item is requesting renewal of a contract with SHI, which is a software and computer equipment reseller. This is for Archive Social, which archives our social media posts. We talked about this years. We've been with them for about 4 or 5 years. Any of our social media posts and any comments that are associated with it are technically public records. So we have to archive them, and we don't have a great way to do that absent this contract. And frankly, we would probably spend more in IT's time and other storage equipment than contracting with them annually. So the new 2025 annual cost would be $4,891.67. It's about a $700 increase from last year. And it has been working well. I'm the one who... I don't do much. I just have to click and connect the accounts, and it automatically archives them. And then we can go in and access the records if needed.
Have we ever done that?
We've never ever seen it. But in the time that we did it, we have it.
Is there any other companies that do this work, or?
Not that we've seen. No, it's kind of a limited field.
Isn't it just basically data storage? I mean,
it is, but it's actually connecting. It's data storage, but it I guess repopulates or draws down the data at least daily, mostly twice a day, so that if a post was deleted, we still have a record of it. It is data storage, but we don't have a good way to capture, because technically if we allow comments on our page, which most of our pages do, those are public records also, so it captures the whole stream.
And it's actually not a bad price, because in Campbell, I actually deleted our Facebook because we found out we had to do the same thing, store all that. And our quote for storage, I want to say that we got, was like $7,500 for Campbell. So for $4,700 for the county is probably not bad.
Okay, I'll make a motion.
A second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
If
we have a motion.
Yeah, if you don't have any other open session business, the motion would be executive session for two items. One, employment history of a particular individual. Two, collective bargaining.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
We're in executive session.
Like Eric.
Just a lot of executive session.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Second.
Motion to go back into regular session.
Yes.
Thank you. We'll have a motion to adjourn.
I'll make the motion to adjourn.
In a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
It should be difficult.